Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. You?
I'm a bit scorchio, but
Yeah,
yes.
I think we both just come back from holiday last week, didn't we?
We have indeed, and obviously now it's going to get hotter and hotter.
Well, I'm not on holiday anymore, so yes, it's bound to get hotter because it didn't do it this time when I was away. But
No.
yeah, it leads to some issues for dogs, doesn't it, really? Because they're used to going out at certain times and they have what alarm clocks in their head, I think, really. Right, it's time for breakfast. Okay, it's time for a walk. And then at midday, it's time for another walk. And of course, you can't do the midday walk these days.
No, it is difficult. You've got to sensibly get up earlier to get them out. Maybe miss breakfast and then feed them when you're back home. You know, if you're going to give them a shorter walk,
Yeah.
they're not going to die if they don't have breakfast until a bit later. But the point is, if you give them breakfast, ideally you've got to wait an hour after you fed them before you walk them. So then you're going to have to get up even earlier if you do that. Lots
Yeah.
of dogs actually don't like breakfast early. They like a lot of the hounds like breakfast about
Oh, ours do
11
about
o'clock.
5 o'clock.
What, in the morning?
Yeah, the
Do
alarm
they?
clocks, you know, and they're at your face. Come on,
Golly.
get up. The day has started. It's like my grandmother was talking to me years ago. Come on, you've got to get up. You can't stay in bed. And now you've got to feed the dogs.
Well, they are. They do like their habits. They do, absolutely. So, well, okay, you'll be all right then, Tony, getting up that early
Oh,
and
yeah.
up and out. So I see I'm an owl on the other end, and
Yeah.
I was the other day while we were away, I was still out walking at 11:30, 11:45 at night.
Oh, it was nice though, wasn't it,
Oh, it was
at
just
night?
lovely, and it was just so warm. It was just really, really
Some
nice.
brilliant
So,
sunsets at the end of last week there were.
absolutely. So, and in actual fact, it's not cooler really, because it's the early mornings that are the cool ones. But
Yeah.
anyway, so yes, ideally get your dogs out, and then the other point is they're generally not going to mooch around looking for things to do. But maybe the young dogs are that don't. If you've got a cool house, maybe they're going to mooch around, and then that's if you're working from home, it can be a bit of a bore if you've got a dog just sort of plaguing you because it can't go out, but it doesn't realise that it can't go out. So then what do? And quite often people reach for the treat tin, give your dog something to do, and maybe use a rawhide chew. Well, I would really go, no, don't do that. In fact, don't even buy a rawhide
They get
chew.
disgusting anyway, don't they?
Well,
Because the dogs put them down and they get covered in all sorts of things. They're really a proper health hazard, aren't
they
they?
are, well, they're a health hazard on many levels because they're not actually dry. They're sort of full of, to start off with, they're sort of full of chemicals to get all the stuff out of them. So all the chemicals are still in them, and they can still rot. That's the whole point. We always think that they're safe because they are dry and nasty, you know, hard bits of rawhide, but they can still rot out, and they are actually a byproduct of the leather industry. And they're not the top layer, which is your handbags and your shoes and your steering wheels. They're
No.
the lower level layer of the leather, which is things that go into cosmetics and soaps and stuff like that. So they
Yeah.
are grim, and also they're not, you might think you've got a beef bit of whatever, but you haven't. They can be all sorts of meat. So, and they quite often come from our friends across the water that flood the country with bits and pieces. So they're not even sort of local stuff. So, I mean, there are the chewy things if you want that you can get your dogs that are much more full of flavour and more sensible, and it gives your dog a bit more of a chew to do rather than, I mean, I wouldn't just sort of give them a biscuit, but it is that thing if they're wandering around. We have this awful guilt with dogs, don't we? We're
Yeah.
busy working, perhaps haven't taken them out for the hours that we would do normally, and that's purely because of the weather. I mean, if you are ultimately a lazy old sausage and not taking your dog out, shame on you. But if it's because of the weather, well, that can't really be helped. So don't feel too guilty, but there are things
Don't
you
know,
know
the
you
weather
can do.
most of the time doesn't actually stop you taking the dog out because the dog doesn't care. But the big problem comes in at this time of year with doggy routines being sort of, well, cast to the wind, really, because people go on holiday,
I
which is
do.
only right and fair. And we took ours with us last week and the week before when Rita got to learn life on a boat. She loved that completely. But not everybody's on a boat. You've got lots and lots of land holidays where what do you do with the dog?
You see, that's the other thing. Whilst you were floating around on the water, we were running along the edge of the water with my Rita.││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││ trying to hurl herself in the water after stones and various things, being an obsessive dog that she has become. And all she wants to do is swim in the water.
Good for Wentz. Good for her.
She's lovely and she's such a good swimmer, but she won't swim unless you instigate the throw to start with. Once she's in, if you shout swim, she'll swim for quite a while. But if she's got a chum, or she can ambush somebody else's beach party and get their dog to play with her in the water, she's happy. But on her own, she can be a bit of a menace, in so much as you come in or whatever. And it is that thing, you know, you think, well, where do you walk your dogs? Obviously, the beach is nice. But again, if the weather gets hot, remember, you know, sand is glass, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So it's all very well keeping the dogs in the water, but to get to the water in the first place, you've got to have come out the car somewhere unless you've walked there. But generally speaking, you've probably walked through some heat, or if it wasn't hot when you started out, you've got to walk through some heat to get back, to get home, or where you are. So, you know, so that is the problem that people are going to see.
But if you decide to take your doggy out for a walk and you go into the fields, you've got the problem of the livestock that inhabits those fields.
Yes. So then if you're not beach based, if you're on your holiday and you've gone somewhere else, which is field based, the most sensible thing is to know exactly what's going on in your area. Is it an arable landscape or is it a grazing landscape? Because obviously if it's highly arable, you're probably going to be able to let your dogs off lead much more, because again, if you're in Norfolk, there seem to be umpteen breeds of deer bouncing around up there.
Oh, there are, aren't they? Yeah.
Oh, Lord. And so you're bound to bump into something like that, or a hare or something, but you're less likely to bump into livestock. Whereas if you're in other parts of the country, you could just circle a field and then your dog's off the lead, and suddenly you're in a field of sheep and there's no notice to say that these sheep are here, and your dog's then going crazy because it's in a field of sheep that you weren't aware of. So you've got to be really careful, and however well trained your dog is, know where you're walking. And really, if it's not your area, I would keep the dog on the lead until you know 100% it's safe to come off the lead. Because, I mean, dogs, the drop of a hat, they turn into wild creatures, as well trained as they are, that, you know, given the opportunity to hunt, they'll all do it, from a little chihuahua up to a Great Dane. They've all got the ability to create havoc on their own, singularly, but also if you've got more than one dog, it's much more fun, obviously, in a group. But singularly, they can do. So you do need to know where you're walking.
Yeah, the other problem with it, of course, is that there are all sorts of things on the ground that not only affect how humans react or what humans actually get, that the dogs can also get. While we were away, my wife was walking the dogs, and of course lots of trees right down by the river. You get off the boat and you can just walk into the trees and follow a pathway and that, and you never quite know what's on that pathway. She ended up with a tick on her foot, and you think, well, if she can get one, and she got shoes on, but I don't think she had socks on at the time, but she had shoes on, what's going to happen with the dogs? Well, apparently it's quite a thing these days that was a disease, I think, called looping, that is a tick-borne virus that is growing into areas where it traditionally wasn't. And, Dartmoor, the West Country, East Anglia, those sorts of places it is getting into, and can cause, as it's described here, uncoordinated movements, tremors, seizures, and frequent death in dogs.
Yeah, and it is frightening, isn't it? Mm. And yes, I mean, do you know the amount of people you talk to that have had a tick in the most extraordinary place? I mean, like a belly button, and you think, what the is it doing there? I mean, you can imagine it sort of on your leg, but even on your foot when you've got shoes on, it is extraordinary where they get to, isn't it? Mm. And I've met so many people that have had ticks. And, you know, with that, you don't want it yourself, obviously. You don't want a problem with, I mean, Lyme's disease is the thing that we see most of in this country with ticks. And we did have somebody at class some years ago who I first went to see her, and she'd actually contracted Lyme's disease through a tick bite. And she was quite disabled in a wheelchair. as the years went on, she had a huge improvement and was, you know, back to fighting strength pretty much. But it took years. And so homeopathically, I would always recommend something like Leadum which is for puncture wounds, but it also helps deter things like Lyme's disease, but both for you and the dog. So do make sure you've got your first aid kit with you when you're out, well, not just walking, but you're out with the dog, especially if you're on holiday.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, there's so many now of these increase in nasties, and a lot of them come over. They either create their own little breed because of life has changed, or other animals have come over from other parts of the country or other countries, and they brought them with them, their own source of nasty, and then they seem to do really well in this country. And
I was quite surprised at what actually happened, because I had to pull the tick out, and I didn't. I got the body out, which obviously negated the problem, but it left the head in, which is clearly not desirable, and that's in a human. So I mean, I'm guessing the thing to do really is to check your dog's feet regularly, just in case something gets in there, because you don't want it to turn nasty, which it will do if it's undetected.
Yes, absolutely. You do really need to, I mean, and they appear. I found one on Rooty's ear the other day. Mm. It was the size of a grape, and the day before it wasn't there. So they can sort of pop on as bigger ticks rather than just be tiny things. But she's forever rolling in something ghastly anyway, so I think they just walk onto her. And but
find me a dog that's not prone to rolling in something ghastly.
Oh, it's horrible, isn't it? Anyway, yeah. So you again, tiny little tick pliers, that's all you need. Just keep you in your dog bag or your pocket. I mean, they'd be useful for your wife as well to pick out her ticks as well.
Well, so, she got a pair of pliers on it, and she still couldn't get the thing out because it hurt too much. But I'm told, we did some research on it, and I'm told that in the human form, if you've got the body off of the thing, leave it alone, because it will repair itself
over the course of
a few days, and the tick will actually fall out on its own.
Mm, yeah,
but I'm not quite sure that's the case with dogs.
No, again, you just ideally need to get the whole thing out. There's various things you can do. You can do this thing called tick tickling, which is if you rotate the abdomen but with your finger in a certain direction, the tick falls off. And
is that one of Wendy's remedies?
I tried it once years ago, and it worked. The tick wasn't laughing after all that tickling, but anyway, it did fall off. But ideally, you need to dispatch the ticks, because otherwise some other poor so-and-so is going to get them attached to them. So, ticks. And also we've got fleas, and ticks and fleas, and they're all sort of, come the warmer weather, then if we get a damp spell, they're all moving again. I mean, they go through phases where they sort of, they're not as prevalent. And again, if you're walking in an area which has got a lot of wildlife, like deer and sheep, that
you're going to get ticks.
Oh, absolutely. There's certain areas we walk, and you know without fail, when you get back, you've got to go through the dog, because there's going to be ticks on it. So do you constantly use chemicals and sprays and various other things to keep these things off your dog, but that in itself can create more
problems. A good thing, not really a good thing. I mean, the advice that I've got here says prevention, regularly check your dog's for ticks, and consult your vet about year-round tick prevention treatments. Now, if you can get ones that don't involve lots and lots of chemicals, great. But if they're trying to offer you something that is full of chemicals and drugs and that, probably not a good idea for your dog.
Not really. And I know, you know, there'll be people yelling. The one person that listens will be yelling at the phone, at the screen, saying, oh, I do it all the time. But yes, I mean, the poor dogs are bombarded. If we're not careful, we can bombard them with chemicals. If it's not vaccinations, it's this, it's that, and it's the just in case. And any, as you say, any new drama of illness out there, we all get terribly worried about our dogs. And why wouldn't you? Because they're our best friends, and you don't want them to suffer. But with, you know, there is known research to suggest that too much vaccination, too many tick and flea stuff will can cause fits in dogs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once you start having a dog fitting, that's another whole load of drama. And the plus the fact the poor little mite doesn't want to have to have
fits. It's not a pleasant thing. I can speak from experience with that one. It's really unpleasant.
It's horrible. It's horrible for you to see it. It's horrible for the dog. So I would be inclined, the best way to deal with most nasties is just ordinary just grooming care. Grooming, know if you've got one, get it off, hook it off, rather than worry too much about. Yeah. But I know people have their views, and some dogs will never, you know, they can have all sorts of chemicals thrown at them, and they'll live for 100 years. And yeah, you could get one that's potentially roughy toughy that then fits. And so, you know, you've just got to be really careful.
Yeah.
And I prefer all the natural stuff. I would, even if you, like from your wife's point of view, with the tick, I would be giving her Leadum anyway, because that's a good thing to have. I mean, you can put Vaseline on ticks and then they eventually fall out. There's all sorts of things. But they're tenacious little creatures, I have to say.
Yeah, you know, well, this one was dead anyway. It was literally was just a head left. So it was a case of putting some antiseptic cream on there just to keep it clean until the thing fell out. Anyway, the other thing that goes with all of this, finally this morning, is the other things that are sort of around in terms of illness. There's three of them in particular. One is canine brucellosis. Another is canine parvovirus, which is highly contagious. And the worst of them all, Alabama rot, which is prevalent in the south of England or in the southeast. So, three things to watch out for.
It's interesting because the Alabama rot's not reared its head for a few years, has it? We haven't had much talk of it.
No, you haven't, but
and again, it was quite prevalent, I think, up in Thetford, near Norfolk.
Yeah.
But if that's coming up again, you've just got to really. I think we have areas that become just overwalked, overstocked, over everything. Plus, there are so many of us now, aren't we? And it is just difficult. You have to, I think you've just got to be careful with your dog and find as many alternatives to keep an eye on them, and find as many alternatives as you can to help deal with it, really.
Mm. Now, according to the government, there's new data that indicates that Alabama rot, a serious disease affecting dogs, may be taking a foothold. And I'm just trying to see where it quite is taking a foothold. I can't find it right now, but something to watch out for, definitely, is Alabama rot. Not a nice thing.
No, it's not nice. It's not. It was. I think it came initially. It was started over in America with the greyhounds, isn't it? And that's when it. It's like anything, isn't it? You've just got to. Keep an eye on your dogs, inspect them. Grooming is probably the best thing to do with your dogs, because then you're much more likely to see what's going on.
The parvovirus thing that we mentioned, described as highly contagious, often fatal, and has seen localised spikes in parts of the UK due to gaps in routine puppy vaccinations. So that takes us in a slightly different direction, doesn't it? That some of these things are possibly preventable.
Yes, and again, you've got to make that call. And are the gaps in the routine vaccinations because people are finding vet bills too? You see, this is the other flip side, isn't it? The cost of owning a dog has spiked enormously.
Yeah.
And I know from class, people, you know, they say something's wrong with the dog, roll their eyes, and you say, well, you know, perhaps take it to the vet. Then they roll their eyes again. and you think, well, you can ask me, but I'm not a vet. So, and I would take it to the vet, quite honestly.
Yeah.
But,
I mean,
it's difficult, isn't it? What else do you do?
Well, the frightening thing with that is, with a lot of vets these days, just to walk in through the door is going to cost you £100 for a lot of them, because of the way the veterinary industry, so to speak, has gone. Unless you've got an independent vet whose fees still fairly expensive, but not quite at that level, that's where the difficulty is.
It is.
It comes back to, I think, if I'm right, It all comes back to pet insurance.
Oh, of course it does. I mean, everything. Yeah. It's like your car, everything, and your house. It's all blooming insurance, and that goes up and up and up, and then everything else goes up and up and up. Life would be, if we didn't have to have insurance, if we weren't so scared and, you know, and made to have so much insurance, our lives, we could all go boating, Tony, once a month.
Well, one of our dogs is insured and one isn't, I have to say. That's a conscious decision, and we did find a vet who's not part of a big multiple group, who is actually reasonable and actually very, very caring about the animals that come through her door.
That's good.
Which is useful. There's a very, very big conversation to be had about all these things to do with health and dogs and the rights and wrongs of all these things. But I think
it's so difficult, though, isn't it? Because we've become such a litigious society that years ago, when I was a bit younger, we went to the vet and they'd say, well, I think your dog's all right. Come back in a week if it hasn't improved. And you go, well, you sure? Yeah, it's fine. They can't even do that now, because if you do that and then you tell your mate down the road, well, my vet said come back in a week, or well, my vet would vaccinate and my vet would do this and that. Well, you've got a dodgy vet if they're saying come back in a week. And so it goes on and on. And so nobody can do anything for fear of being either bad-mouthed or, you know, or litigious.
Well, without bad-mouthing the vets, I will say this, that it used to be try this for a week, and you know, if they're still bad, come back. If not, so be it. Nowadays, the case
great,
of we probably need to do a scan, and there's £350 before you blink. It's all about the money, unfortunately, which is a very, very sad state of affairs, and about time that everybody got back to concentrating on what's best for the dog.
I do, I agree. And I think also because the medical side of dog stuff has improved to such a degree, everybody thinks that everything is fixable, and it's not always fixable. No. You have to look at the age of your dog, the condition, the lifestyle of it, and sometimes it's just not fixable. So having loads and loads of tests and this and that done isn't going to make a jot of difference, other than it's going to make a big hole in your bank and maybe prevent you from being able to adopt another dog that needs you as much as your other one did.
Yeah, so, that's another conversation, Wendy. We're actually at time's end, I think, really. We've overshot by some little way, but it doesn't really matter. We're talking about our dogs and we love them. Wendy, it's been great to talk to you this morning, as always. We'll catch up with you again in a month or so's time. For now, Wendy Claxton, thank you.
Thank you, Tony. See you soon.